We're up to the laws of Rechilos, Siman Lamed, Issa Rechilos, Lashnara, Nikima, Unitira. All of the good things in life. All the good things, Rechilos, Lashnara, he doesn't say Motishemra. Nikima, Unitira is revenge. Bearing a grudge and taking revenge. Okay, let's see what it says of the Lashon of the Halachas. Ksiv, it says, Lashelech Racha Bamecha. It says, Nutara, do not go become a gossip monger. A Rachel is a tale bearer among your people. Now, let me just give a little hakdama. I was going to say, there are four categories. There is Rechilus, there is Lashon Hara, there is Motzi Shemra, and what was the fourth category? And, am I forgetting? Okay, we'll come to it. But right now, let's focus on the three. So what is Rechilus? Rechilus is not Lashon Hara, and it's not Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra are outright lies. Lashon Hara is 100% true, but it's damaging. Rechilus is, it's true, and it's not damaging. It's not necessarily damaging, but guess what? It's none of your business. That's what it means. So Loiselech Rachel Bamecha is to tell someone gossip. It's unbelievable halach. Not everyone knows. People think, most people think, if it's true, and it's not damaging, and it's just gossip, there's nothing wrong. There's no prohibition. That's not true. Just because it's not damaging, it's still gossip, and gossip is also. That's what it says.
If I say to someone, did you see today's Times, Mr. X made today's Times?
Okay, yeah. That's another issue. That's an issue where it's really public knowledge. That's a very complicated issue. Something.
So, can I say to someone, did you see today's Times?
Yes, because it's public knowledge. It's the New York Times public knowledge. Once three people know about it, and it's readily available, information available, so technically there is no violation of anything. But, okay, big but, it's not necessarily the right thing. Okay, it gets very complicated. It's not necessarily.
They don't read the Times.
What?
They don't know.
So it's very complicated. It's not so simple. It's not in the Jewish newspapers, okay, like the Ated and the Hamodia, and in the Jewish magazines, they 99% of the time do not hang out other people's dirty laundry. They don't. Jewish Week 100%. They hang out everyone's Jewish laundry. They love it. That's
investigative.
But why not? Why can't even the Jewish press, somewhere in the middle, right? Somewhere in the middle. So why can't what's the big deal? So the Ated, Avodia, all these magazines, so what's the big deal? It's public knowledge. It's in the New York Times, it's online, it's readily available. So the answer is so what? Just because it's readily available doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Okay, if there's a danger, there's a sakana, there's a person that's a predator, okay, so you have to be modia the rabbin. But if it's not a sakana, the danger has been neutralized, person is sitting in jail, so what you have to go, it's not necessarily the right thing to do.
There are cases.
Yeah.
It's a very slim law.
Yeah, it's not so simple.
There are cases. Man, newspapers, you said, did not publicize it. When he got out of jail, he didn't say
they go back. They go back where he started.
But not only that.
You're right. It was a very slim one.
But even further, shouldn't this be spoken about more in the community to avoid certain behavior?
Yes and no.
Like stealing a whole bunch of money.
Yes and no. Look in Eretz. They had the parades in Yerushalayim. Okay, so there was a very big disagreement among the Gedolei Yisrael in the Yerushalayim, what to do. Should they protest the Toeva parades? Right? So should they protest? So the dealing over here with the top of the line, dealing over here with the biggest Gedolim and the biggest Rebbes, they were divided. Should there be a public protest? Should not there not be a public protest? What? That is really a very good thing for the Urim V'Tumim. But wouldn't it be surprising if the Urim V'Tumim would respond that for some people should go protest and there are other people that should not protest? It depends. Everyone is different. Every community is wired differently. We know ourselves. There are certain things which turn us on, and they don't turn on our friends. There are certain things. Every person has a different degree of different sensitivities. And what's good for one is not good for the other. So you can't generalize. What would be the biggest shock? Because there would be a cutting over to him, and they would respond, this community should march, and this community should sit home and do nothing. No?
Unanimous decision.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I think you're
the people are waiting for
you. You're asking me such a stupid question. You don't know the answer?
Not necessarily.
That's what I think you're with them.
Well, a couple of years ago, they had that Asifa, right? They had that Asifa, the internet. So the internet. So it's a very big divide. Same thing, very big divide in what to do. Like, they had this gathering in Citi Field. So the way it was originally presented was to be a very hands-on presentation with brochures, giving people the exact filters and the websites where to go to download filters and the exact dangers for the cell phones and for this. A hands-on presentation, and then a group of people who desperately needed to fill up the stadium, to fill up the seats, says, it's a great idea, but we feel you're going too far. We feel that to make it a hands-on, give out brochures and provide those information, it will do more damage for our clientele who are so sheltered and protected from these type of things. They'll get very curious, and who knows? So where do you draw the line? So the truth is, for them, they're right, because among their crowd, they are so sheltered and so protected. They don't.
They think
what? When they get older.
But that's
their approach. Whatever it is, I don't know, but that's their approach. And the other group of people, they felt, no, we disagree with you. It's very strongly disagree with you. And so where do you draw the line? So I don't know.
These are strategic questions. What is the best strategy for a certain end?
But there's no one answer. What's good for one group is not good for another group. And when you're trying to bring together everyone under one banner, it doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work. So that touches on Rechilus. What is Rechilus? Exactly your question. You have a newspaper, and you want to print in the newspaper a story about a person who committed a crime. It's very important that people should know that he committed a crime. This is a terrible thing that's been done, and it's not right, and he has to be punished. On the other hand, what?
Not necessarily a crime. Without mentioning the whole article, the Jewish Week a week ago,
yeah,
mentioning an alleged misbehavior on behalf of a rabbi.
Alleged.
And the community was being made aware of someone who... where women should stay away from him, basically, to avoid a private counsel. But
publication Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. I don't know.
There was no indictment. There was no criminal anything. But it was a whole.
So you allowed to do that? So I mean, I don't know. I don't
know. Did that. They had a public exposition.
Well, even if the person was convicted, the other magazines would not publish, would not report it, would not report about it.
That's
the. What?
He gets out. He's
going to
do it again anyway. Makes no sense.
But if it's only alleged, there's ramifications for his family. There's a lot of collateral damage. That's a different story. So if he's guilty, he's guilty. So what are you going to do about it? That's the story.
Yeah. The question is, what is the goal of publishing?
To sell papers. To sell papers. Of course. What else is it? What?
There's also no.
Okay, let's be getting sidetracked. Let's see what it says inside. Kisiv lo selech Rachel b'yamecha. Ezehu Rachel zeh shetoyin dvar mohelech mizeh. That is a person that shetoyin. Okay, let's read the words. A Rachel is a person who collects. He's a collector. A collector of junk. You have in your basement a collection of junk. You collect ideas and gossip. And you go from one person to the next person. Guess what happened today? Guess what it says in this newspaper? Kach Omar Ploni. Kach v'kach shamati al Ploni. Af al pish shehu emes. So Rechilus, it is 100% true. And it's not damaging. There's no harm done. V'gam ein boy genus. There's nothing wrong. It's not a damaging statement. It doesn't make a difference. Gossip is also the same. Gossip hayreiz the oiver belav of leselech rochim v'hu avon gadol v'goyreim laharoig nefashay smi Yisrael. Now, what is the example? And I have to give an example in order to not you know, when it's also when it's a mutter. L'kach nismach lo. That's why right leselech rochel ba'mecha v'loy samur al dar mayecha. What does that mean? Because the Hekesh is telling us that through gossip you can bring about death. Now, for example, Selim Adma Era, this is the classic example, the prototype that we learned from. What happened? L'doi Ko'adom. Doi Ko'adom, he goes to Adoi Ko'adom, was David, was once upon a time David's good friend, was David's advisor, part of David's team. But Doi Ko'adom is Shamar L'Shol, he tells Shol, Shol is paranoid, he's unstable, and he wants to kill David. David did nothing. Shol thinks that some reason David is taking over. He has no reason to assume that, but he gets paranoid, so he starts shooting arrows and throwing swords at him. So David runs away. David runs. He runs to Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, who it's run by Achimelech, and David is starving. And David says, "Give me some bread before I die." They give him the lechem upon him, and they give him a weapon. David's on the run, he needs a weapon. So Doye Kwadom, it says, guess what I read, guess what happened? Got an email that in Noif, Irakoihanim, David showed up, and guess what? The Kohen Gadol, Achimelech, he gave David what to eat, and he gave David a sword. Is anything wrong with that? Anything wrong? He did a chesed. What a tzaddik. What a tzaddik. He did a machnas urach, and he gave him a weapon. What's wrong with that? Problem is, it's true, it's good news, it's NS, and it's not a harming, but you gave the information to the wrong person. The person that should, this one person that should not be made aware of this information is Shaul, because Shaul's paranoid, and Shaul's going to assume that all the people who never are complicit, Dove is rebelling against. Let's see. He gave him provisions and a sword. It's not a big thing. I'll get credit to write in the Gedolim books, write a story about him, and he was such a kind person. He gave him some lechem upon him, he gave him a weapon, he gave him his own gun. Did you give him any bread? So he was, of course I gave him bread. Well, he's a guest, of course. What do you think I am? I'm a stone here. No, it's not stone. What happened through this report of Doeg Wadomi? The whole city was wiped out. They were all killed. Yesh Ovlan, because of that, David, that's one of the reasons why David couldn't build the Hamikdash. That's one of the reasons given. David Shafach, he spilled blood. It doesn't mean that David went to war, he killed the Goyim. David was responsible to some degree in the death of Noiv Yerakohanim. Base. Yesh Ovlan Gadol Mizeh. Let's read the whole simon, and then we'll come back to Yesh Ovlan Gadol Mizeh Ad Moid. Okay, that's the first example. Now, where do you draw the line? Obviously, that's a very, very difficult question, which I don't know the answer to. Of where do you draw the line? Rechil is the first, that's to use your own seichel. You have to use your own seichel. One to keep your mouth shut, even though it's public knowledge, and it's something that's good. It's not always necessarily the best thing to tell an enemy something which will cause harm to someone else, and even though he may find out by someone else. So let the other person be the one who told. Why do you have to be the one? Why do you have to be the one that brings this bad information, which you're going to go on record, you're going to have a partnership in the result that's going to come. Let someone else be the one that's responsible. Now we come to category number two. Category number two is worse because now it's damaging. A report which is evil. So and so, he went, he did an Aveira. A person that speaks over the Gnus Chaveroi, even though what it says is, even though what he's saying is 100% true, some person says sheker, Nikra motzi shemra al-chaver. A person just gives out lies, outrageous lies. That's not called lashon. That's called motzi shemra. Aval ba lashon hara zeh sheyesh. But this person says lashon. He says the emes, the truth. Sheyoshev yemer kach v'kach asaploni kach v'kach chayu avoysav v'kach v'kach shemati. This is what his father did. His father did this terrible avera. V'kach v'kach shemati lo v'emer devarim shel ginai v'al zeh omer akosev yachres Hashem. May Hashem cut off kol sifsei chalakos, smooth strength, lips, smooth talkers. Lashon, a tongue, medaberes, gedolos, speaks. Gedolos means great things. In this context, it means things which cause people to wake up and take note. They become aware of Gnai. Next, Hamakabel Lashon Hara. So there's a prohibition to speak Lashon Hara. And then there's a prohibition to believe the Lashon Hara. Makabel Lashon Hara, who Garua Yosem and Amro, is even worse than the one who says Lashon Hara. Vle Nechtam Gzardin Alav Asenu B'midbar Ella Al Lashon Hara Belvat. This is an incredible insight. The reason why Klal Yisrael, they were in the Midbar for 40 years, the Meraglim, it's not because of what the Meraglim did. The Meraglim, they went and they came back with an evil report. They said the land is very bad, and there are giants, and there's no way we can conquer it. Gesund to hate. You can say whatever you want. The taina does not fall on the spies. The taina, the complaint, is against Klal Yisrael, the 600,000 people who believed it. Just because the leaders, the report, the issue report, the ones who believe the report, they are the ones that are held accountable. And because they believe the report, after Hashem explicitly told them, I'm taking you to a good land, they, Klal, the Gezar Din of not going into the Eretz Yisrael for 40 years, dying in the desert, not being zochah to live to see the Eretz Yisrael, was because of the people who listened, not because of the ones who issued the report.
But the report came from reputable people.
It doesn't matter, they went against the word of Hashem. Hashem told Klal Yisrael multiple times to Moshe. Moshe disagreed with them. It wasn't a one-sided report. Yoshua V'Kolev disagreed. Yoshua, it wasn't unanimous. Yoshua V'Kolev said the land is good. Moshe told them it's also good. Their opinion was a significant dissenting minority opinion, which was significant. And when you add that to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim, Hashem appeared to them by Matan Torah. Putting all that together, Klal Yisrael had enough reason to reject the Meraglim and believe in Moshe, Yoshua, and Kolev, and in Hashem, and go into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they were held accountable. That's what it says.
So you can hear it, but not accept it.
Well, sometimes you have no choice. Someone comes and says it to you. You're overwhelmed. You have no choice. You are permitted and obligated to take precautions. If you are aware that so-and-so is a ganav, you heard Lashon Hara is a ganav, so you're not allowed to believe it to the degree where you will act upon that information in a way that is damaging to him. But you are allowed to take precautions and not invest with him and not give him your business. Right? In other words, you hear reports. Everyone is circulating reports that a person is a ganav.
What if you know it's true?
If you know it's true, if you've been victim yourself, that's already a different category, I guess. And you want to protect someone.
They give shiurim on it, and they tell you, say, like, pick one thing.
Yeah.
They give you the idea about the person, and not embellish. Just say one thing that'll make the other person, they talk about what you do with them, how you could say, you know, he's a nice guy, but, you know.
Someone rings my bell.
Yeah.
Says to me, I'm looking at the apartment in the next house. I want to rent it. Can you tell me something about the landlord? So I have one of three choices. I can tell him the truth. I can remain quiet. Or I can tell him, inquire with the previous tenant.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Tough question. I don't know the answer.
But I know that the answer is that a guy.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Every question has many many variables. And
so the guy remains silent.
What?
People move in.
No, so you're not letting him remain silent. You're not letting him remain silent. If you know for a fact, that's what he just said. He said like his what he just said. You know for a fact. If you know for a fact, you have an obligation to protect someone.
In other words, I know for a fact.
Yes, yeah, so you have an obligation to protect someone. Forget about protecting him, protecting yourself. Because if you're going to tell the person, oh, he's a wonderful guy, and then he'll move in and he'll suffer in the hands of this landlord, he'll come back and he'll hate you. So forget about protecting someone else, but you have to protect yourself. So you can't generalize. I don't know the answer. Every case has different variables, and you have to know, I don't know the halachas, you have to, what?
Is misinformation, going back to Sephardi, is misinformation, let's say, he would have told him David was killed by the Kohanim.
Yes, going back to Achilles.
Yeah. So he should be subside, you know.
I don't think so. That you know, that's a lie.
Shol.
No, I don't think so.
Misinformation.
I don't think so. That's a lie. There's a halacha that you are allowed to lie b'nei darkei shalom. So what? To what degree? On the other hand, that's only blind, a lie that you could assume no one will find out about. There are different types of lies.
Give an example. Misinformation is allowed.
It depends. There's many different categories of misinformation. There's misinformation, which is the category of avida l'skaluye. It will one day be revealed that was misinformation. And there's no such thing as a perfect law, because we all know that at some point in time, the law will be exposed. But generally, there are different categories of where you ever, if you would put down numbers, you could assume there's a 95% chance he'll never find it. If I lie to him, I'll get away with it. Generally, you can never be so sure. So there's a halacha called Mishanin Bibnei Darke Shalom. That if you know it's going to result, if he could have told David that David was killed by the Kohanim of Noah, and there's a 99% chance that Shaul's not going to find out that David is still alive, well, chayre, yeah, that would be the right thing to do. It's Perish Gemara. You're allowed to lie Bibnei Darke Shalom. But telling him that David died, it's not, seemingly, I don't know the situation, it's probably a lie, that's probably 30% chance that he can get away with it. That's, you can't do that. You can't make a lie when that's more, that's sheker. You can't go that far. Lying is a very hard thing today, because today it's getting harder and harder to lie. We live in a world.
It's easier to get caught.
We live in a world where it's just getting harder and harder to lie. That's how it is.
No, you can lie, but you get caught.
What?
It's harder to get away with.
Hard to get away with it. But that's what I mean. You know what I mean. So I don't know what to say.
Okay, Shalom is a very big concept. I was at a symposium yesterday, and Zaka, one of the representatives of Zaka, was speaking. I didn't realize.
Eretz Yisrael? Which?
Zaka International.
Yeah.
But they said Zaka, according to their bylaws, when they go around and collecting the body parts, they don't distinguish because of Darke Shalom, even if it's a non-Jew.
Of course not. Right. Hatzol has to go on a call for a non-Jew. Right. They get a call from a non-Jew. They know it's a non-Jew.
Right. So
they go also. Darke Shalom.
Right.
That's Darke Shalom issue.
What about Shabbos?
Shabbos also. They have no choice because the big picture. Someone who I've told wants to go so far, and this is a very big chiddush, which I don't know, I shouldn't really speak on all the details, about organ donors. So it's a very big problem for a Jew. Things are always changing. You're a doctor, you know the details very well. Things are always changing. The Rubid used to be that they only can harvest organs from a person that's still alive, to some degree, brain dead. So when the person is just about to die, they take out the organs when he's still alive. When brain dead?
He's brain dead.
Brain dead. Only brain dead?
When they're brain dead, he's not alive.
Okay, so that's the issue. But they're different in halacha, different categories of brain dead. There are categories in halacha that everyone agrees, but they're getting into different madrigals of brain dead.
American medicine, other countries may not pull from brain dead,
but even among being brain dead, there are different levels of brain dead, there are different categories. So let's say you have a situation where...
The head of Shari Tzedek spoke yesterday, too.
About this harvesting...
I
heard it, you know, Heschel Shechter.
Yitzi is...
What? Yes. It's in that, cousin, yeah.
Yitzi's a cousin?
Yitzi Mayevsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cousin.
He was one to
my first
was up there. He introduced.
He's also going to be a doctor.
He was involved, that. So,
his father's a doctor.
Shari Tzedek.
Yeah.
And the director, Halevi.
Jonathan
Halevi. He spoke about brain death. So
yeah.
It's interesting. Shari Tzedek holds, this is what they do there. So if the... First of all, you have to get confirmation. Some people are, sometimes brain death is diagnosed without the proper, proper confirmation. Okay, so they need confirmation, and they need two physicians independently not involved in the case to confirm. And then it's up to the family to decide whether or not to take the patient, say, off the respirator. So they could... medically say the patient's brain dead, but whether or not to remove it, normally, so in this country, that would be certainly an impetus for, say, the ICU doctors to have the patient taken off a respirator, but in Shari Tzedek, It requires the
family
to agree.
Okay.
But they have that.
But when do they take the organs? Ideally, the best time taking the organ, only Brandon. After Brandon already dies, it's too late. Is it?
The organs are not preserved. I mean, they try. It depends how quick.
But ideally, it would be when the person's brain, because then the organs, the heart is still right. So the problem is, is a Jew allowed to donate his organs when he's brain dead? Let's say he holds brain dead as alive. So we're not. You're not allowed to. Basically, you're not allowed to. Because who are the organs going to go to?
HOD.
Problem is, where do Jews get organs from? Jews get their organs from non-Jews who are donating the organs when they're brain dead. A Jew, let's say Rachman Lutzlan, a Jew needs an organ. A Jew needs a heart. Where are they getting the heart from? They're getting the heart from a patient who's brain dead, whose heart is being removed when he's brain dead. Ask the same Jew, will you give up your heart for someone else? And it goes in by law. You can't designate. It's all anonymous. It's all anonymous, right?
Organs. My son-in-law donated a kidney to the last moment or so. He didn't know who was getting
exactly.
It.
You don't know exactly. So the problem is, you're willing to take, but you're not willing to give.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's a very big problem. That's an ethical question. According to halacha, you'd be very glad to take. But give, I can't. Why? Not because I don't want to give. It's because there are halachic problems. In halacha, there are opinions. I'm not telling you everyone is of this opinion. There are opinions that brain dead is still alive. And if brain dead is still alive, that means that api halacha, you're not allowed to give up your organ at that moment in time. So you have now an ethical dilemma. Here I am, I'm a person who does not allow my heart to be given at this moment when I am considered brain dead. But I'll be very happy to take an organ from someone who's exactly in this situation, from a non-Jew. Therefore, because of this dilemma, because of this problem, there are poskim, believe it or not, there are poskim that say, a very powerful concept, this big concept, that you are allowed, basically, to give up your organs when you are... What?
To someone anonymous.
Anonymously. Because statistics. Because if I will give my... Just like I will take... The big picture of things we need to take, so we have to be part of the group that also gives. You can't just be a taker, not a giver, even though halachically it's problematic giving. So sometimes it's pikuach nefesh, because if we're not going to give, then we're not going to be able to take. I mean, that's the whole question.
Dr. Fruchter said, the symposium has said that if you're brain dead, they get confirmation from two independent doctors.
Because they're of the opinion, they're following the Postman hold that brain dead is called dead.
So according to
this is a major, major controversy in halacha of brain dead is dead. Let's assume now, according to the position, there is a position. There are many people that hold that brain dead is not dead. And Shari said they're giving you the option. And today also many people take that option. Many Haredim take that option as well. If a person is brain dead, the brain is not functioning according to the best of our scientific knowledge, but the heart is pumping. Is the person Allah called alive or dead? There are two opinions. One opinion is he is alive. The other opinion holds that he is dead. In Shari Tzedek, a Jewish hospital, if you want to follow the opinion that the person is still alive, no one will pull the plug on you. They're not going to touch you. They're not going to touch the person. The patient's heart is beating, and his brain is 100% not functioning, according to the best of their... They have a very advanced technology to determine that there's absolutely no activity in the brain, but the heart is still pumping. You now have to decide who is your rabbi. And whatever your rabbi is, that's what the hospital, Shari Tzedek, will do. They will abide by your decision, by your rabbi. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, in different countries, they don't know from halacha, and this issue is decided in some countries by the government. The government, to keep a person on a respirator for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of days, whatever it is, it's very expensive. So to go outside the United States, it's not a religious world, so the government will decide. We are of the opinion that once there is no activity in the brain, the person is dead. He is dead. We are going to turn off the machine. We don't care that your rabbi says that you have a rabbi that says as long as the heart is beating, you consider to be alive. Too bad. we're going to turn off the machine. That is the issue today. And this issue was an issue 30 years ago, and since that point in time, technology has advanced very much, where now they can determine different types. They can, not just a general category of brain dead, there are many degrees of brain dead. Lower stem, even lower stem, they have now new technology where they can detect. So what they used to consider, many want to suggest, that even the Gedolim who passed on this issue 30 years ago would admit today, based on new technology, where they have even more evidence of no activity, that even they would admit that today there's something called brain dead is called now no longer living. But not everyone.
Those come today who will say that in contrast to what was said 30 years ago.
They're going to say that what was said 30 years ago was based upon
the information
available then. Today we have better.
Therefore, can we
one of the two say
yes? So among that you have a divide.
They're the two watch.
Yes, yes.
Who will say that was good 30 years ago based on knowledge today? We say on the contrary.
Yes, 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 yes. So that's all the big question. That's why many people, Rahman al-Islam, when they're involved in such a situation, they consult with who they're comfortable with. And the people that call usually today, everything is very predecessor. They basically, what I've heard about is basically they tell the family, there are different opinions, and you do whatever you feel comfortable. That's what I've heard. Very, very, very few people today they're very set one way. They tell the family, you do what you're comfortable doing, whatever, however you feel about it. You know, they don't, because there really is no clear-cut approach in these matters.
There is an organization that does organ transplants. I know they have a website.
Yes. So where do the transplants come from? They come from non-Jews.
No.
Well, that's when you give up a kidney. That's when you make a transplant.
The halachic organ donor.
The halachic organ donor is
HOD.
HOD is the organization, and they have a list of questions.
But HOD is controversial. The approach of dark. The print HOD is built. If I'm not clear, mistaken. But when I've read up, what I vaguely remember is that this organization is based on the principle of Dark Yeshua.
Not the other way to bring it.
Not everyone agrees that it's it's a very big mitzvah, no question about it, but yeah, there are issues. There are different types of organs. There are organs they can take from a person who's only alive. That's the very big issue. There are certain organs they only can take from a person when their heart is still beating. And taking organs when a person's heart is still beating is problematic, according to some.
So even to donate a kidney? Walter?
No, that could be taken when you're alive. That's a whole different story. That living is not an issue at all. It's 100%. That's a mitzvah. That's 100% mitzvah. That's not an issue at all. Okay, let's take a break.